The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the crowd, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Judeans began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God. This one has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I have heard people speak on this passage in 1 Kings, the one where we hear about Elijah eating a snack, and say that Elijah is just being a dramatic, whiny teenager of a prophet. They denigrate Elijah for wishing to die. Or, on the other hand, they skip over this passage altogether in favor of the scenes on either side. But this passage is in the story of Elijah for a reason, and it's in our lectionary today for a reason, too. I don't claim to know what the authors of 1 Kings were thinking when they included this story in their book, but I do have some suspicions about why the Revised Common Lectionary editors picked this particular story. This story is about God meeting our needs. Each week, we pray together as part of the Eucharistic prayer, "Our Mother, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." It's the prayer that millions, perhaps probably billions of Christians, utter and mumble and say out loud every day, sometimes multiple times per day. It starts off with praise for God and an incitement for God's kingdom to come. But then we move from the kingdom of God to the most mundane of things. Bread. Why? Why does Jesus place food in the second petition in the Lord's Prayer? I think this story in 1 Kings, the story of Elijah and the cake baked on hot stones, tells us a lot about why. But it requires us to put ourselves in Elijah's shoes and exercise some empathy. Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. What was he thinking as he took that journey? He walked for a day out into the wilderness, this desert space, a ways away from anything, really, especially the village Beersheba, where he had left the servant who had been traveling with him. He wanted to be alone. He wanted, as we learn in the very next verse, to die. He is despondent and ashamed, awash in a mire of negative feelings. What would that feel like? This passage is sandwiched in between two dramatic episodes in Elijah's life that you probably know a little bit better. Just prior to this, Elijah prays for rain to end a three-year drought and famine in the land, and the sky, as a result, has grown black with rain, and a mighty downpour falls from the sky. But Elijah outruns the rain, sprinting off to the south to Jezreel. And when he gets there, he receives a message from Queen Jezebel. If she catches him, he's dead. Because before the rain and the running, Elijah was cutting the prophets of Baal down with the sword. He was killing 450 people following the miracle at Mount Carmel, where God sends down fire to consume meat on a water-soaked altar. After this story, this incident with the cake that we just read about, Elijah will go to Mount Horeb, also known as Mount Sinai, and hear God's audible voice as a still small whisper following an earthquake and a mighty wind. But Elijah, in this story, Elijah, this legend of a prophet, he is terrified when he receives Jezebel's message. And so he flees. He goes to Jezreel, and then he goes even further south into the wilderness with his servant. And then he wants to be alone. He goes a day further into the desert to a place where there is very little of anything. It has just rained, but the land is still pretty dry. And I imagine that even the torrential downpour that God sends isn't enough to make this area of desert very lush or green. It's a dry area. There's only a solitary broom tree. Elijah sits down under this tree and he prays, God, take away my life. I am no better than my ancestors. He is filled with deep shame. After this great victory on Mount Carmel and before he encounters the still small voice of God, Elijah sits down in the desert and wishes that he were dead. I don't know about you, but perhaps you can relate to this. Because I can. There are times in my own life when I have been so despondent and full of self-hatred that I cannot imagine a way forward. When I feel like this, I have withdrawn to my own wilderness, the solitary place that is my empty bathtub. I lay down in the cold ceramic and close the shower curtain. I want to be alone in the dark. I want to wallow in the shame and my own misery, or perhaps to let the cold ceramic shock the sadness and the fear away. Maybe you have felt something like this too. In psychology speak, this is what is known as passive suicidal ideation. You don't want to exist anymore. You don't want to be, but you're not making active plans to end your life. This space of despondency, of despair, is so low and so dark. And it is certainly not a place that we should make fun of. Elijah's emotions in this scene are real and they are terrifying. So where is God? Where is the hope, the gospel message? I think it's in the bread that the angel brings Elijah. The angel touches him and says, get up and eat. And Elijah looks and there's a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And so he eats and drinks and lays down once more. And then the angel wakes him up again with a touch. And Elijah eats and drinks. He is fortified by this food and drink, and he goes 40 days further into the desert on the strength of it. Elijah needs four things when he goes into the desert. And God provides all of them via this angel. He needs rest. He needs the comfort of touch. He needs food, and he needs water. All of our profoundly human needs, God meets. The angel doesn't scold Elijah for being in this emotional state, and the angel certainly doesn't poke fun at Elijah. Instead, we see the God who sent the rain, the God who poured fire down from heaven onto the altar, the God who will speak to Elijah in a still, small voice in 40 days' time. This God meets Elijah's needs. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, We ask for God to meet our needs. Give us this day our daily bread is not a statement that we can glibly remove from the Lord's Prayer because we can live on God's word alone. We need food because we are hungry creatures. To need to eat is to be human. To need rest is to be human. To be awash in a mire of negative emotions that Elijah experiences in the wilderness is to be human. And God desires to meet our human needs. In seminary, I focus on what I call queer edible theology. That is, a theology of food that embeds us in our embodiment, our state of becoming more like God and more like our true selves, the process of sanctification. Roman Catholic theologian Angel Mendez Montoya calls this alimentary theology, theology that nourishes. Now, being in seminary and having thought deeply about this kind of thing for a long time, I've read a lot of definitions of theology. Theologians and pastors are always speculating on exactly how to define this thing that we do. Anselm of Canterbury, all the way back in the 11th century, writes that theology is faith seeking understanding. Karl Rahner, a German Jesuit theologian, claims in the 20th century that theology is the science of faith, the conscious and methodical explanation and explication of the divine revelation received and grasped in faith. These definitions, like most definitions of theology, focus on faith and reason. But faith and reason are both grounded in our bodily experience as humans. This is why Mendez Montoya's definition of theology speaks to me so deeply. He writes, quote, "Like cooking, alimentary theology is a theology in the making, a performance that involves both contemplation and action, a vocation that is simultaneously gift and reception, preparation and sharing, consumption and contemplation, materiality and transcendence, human and divine," end quote. Christian theology, Christian practice, this thing that we are doing together, trying to find God and find ourselves, it's not just about faith or reason. It's about our limitations and our needs, our humanity, and the way that God meets us in those limitations and needs. The gospel for today comes from a lengthier section in the Epistle of John called the Bread of Life Discourse. And we read from this discourse last week, and we will read from it again next week, and the week after that, and the week after that. Jesus says he is the bread of life, the food that satisfies. "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Our hunger, our limitations, our needs, this is what reminds us that we actually need God. It is why we take the Eucharist each week. Bread and wine remind us of our dependence on God. We are not satisfied apart from God. And the most human of all things, hunger, is what Jesus chose to remind us of that. The bread that is Christ, the bread that we eat each week, that is the nourishment that we need. We eat bread and drink wine or juice alongside hearing the word each week in the biblical texts and in the sermon, because we need these things to go alongside each other. Faith and reason, embodiment and consumption. Theology does not exist solely in our minds, but our minds inform our body's experience of what it is to eat the bread of Christ. Now, I am not claiming that the bread that Elijah ate in the desert was Christ, not by any means. But I believe that this experience that Elijah has illuminates our understanding of the Eucharist and of Christ as bread. We are hungry, thirsty, sleepy, full of emotions. Sometimes we are so despondent that we cannot imagine a way through. Beloved church, hear the gospel this morning. God meets our hunger, our needs, where we are, and offers us life abundant, life everlasting. Jesus is our way through and onwards, the food that satisfies, the bread of life. Amen.